we spent the week at the City of Berkeley Tuolumne Family Camp. Oh, look, we got a bag. It's the Berkeley Tuolumne Family Camp, which runs every year. It is a really lovely camp. It has been completely rebuilt after the Rim Fire in 2013. It has a cafeteria, a recreation center, basketball courts, playground, and then you stay in tents that are on wooden platforms, which is nice. You don't have to actually bring your own tent. This is all just outside of Yosemite. The only drawback is that it is really, really hot. Really hot during daylight hours, not just in the middle of the day, during daylight hours. It is really hot. And the only way to keep cool is to swim in the really, really cold Tuolumne River, which we did every day. And every day there are a number of activities that both kids and adults can take part in. There's tie-dye. Our week was tie-dye week. There's archery, fishing, hiking, and of course, the aforementioned swimming. And everyone eats meals together in the cafeteria. You are assigned to a table so that you sit with the same people and get to know them. And one woman at our table has been coming to camp since she was a little girl. Then she and her husband brought their children to camp, and now they come with their grandchildren, which is great. Many campers do come as part of a family or a larger friend group. And I really became aware of this, how people were coming as groups, on Thursday evening when there was a dance on the basketball court. And most people danced with their kids or in a kind of a friend group circle, you know, as people do. But not me. Elijah was off with, like, his little buddy doing something involving dirt. And Hans doesn't dance, and he went to bed early. And so I was there on my own, and I felt slightly awkward, you know, memories of high school. I mean, I'm not in high school, right? So I danced, but I wished I wasn't by myself. And I kept thinking, where are my people? Where are my people? So I have decided that if we go again next year, and I would like to, that I must organize in advance. I want to go with a group, with other families. I want to go with my people. So the gospel lesson for this Sunday from Matthew, which we just read, is so good. Jesus offers this whole series of vignettes that illustrate what the kingdom of heaven is like. I think maybe he figured if one of them didn't speak to an audience member, then another one would. We'd all be able to relate to something. Take a quick look. The first two parables feature farming and baking. In both cases, there's some humor. Jesus says, look at the mustard seed, the smallest of seeds. It's not actually the smallest of seeds, so that's humorous. And it grows to be the greatest of shrubs. But then birds find a place for their nests in its branches, and so it's humorous, but it's also an image of safety. And in the second one, he says that a woman mixed yeast into 3 measures of flour. 3 measures is 40 to 50 pounds of flour, and that would make enough bread to just fill her house with loaves of bread. So it's kind of funny, but also the image is expansive. That is more bread than any household needs. That is bread to give away. The third and fourth parables feature business people, commerce. A man found a treasure hidden in a field. How did he find it? Did he just go out there with a shovel? I mean, did he have a treasure map and there was an X on it? How did he find it? We don't know. But he found it, and then he sold. I assume he found it and then covered it up again, right? And then he went and sold all that he had to buy the field, and then the treasure was his. And a pearl merchant finds the most beautiful, perfect pearl that he has ever seen. He's been looking for this pearl his whole life. There it is. He sells everything he owns to purchase perfection, perfection. Fishers go fishing, pull in a net filled with fish of every kind. So many that they have the luxury of sorting out the ones they'll keep from the ones they're going to throw back. I mean, that's a lot of fish when you can say, I don't like this one, I'll throw it back, right? That's a lot of fish. In every case, there's something hidden or small that is revealed, it becomes large. And in every case, there is something surprising and valuable. And if you see it, you've got to act to acquire it. And the kingdom of heaven requires all you have, Jesus is saying. And it's worth it. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It takes all our love, our energy, devotion, faith, our earthly goods, our time, our talent, and then it gives back more. It gives back more. It turns out that was your heart's desire. And you'd give anything for that. This past week, we began the council meeting by reflecting on this gospel text, and I asked the council if they could think of it, of something that costs you everything but that is worth it. And the first thing that we all thought of was having children, and maybe that's what you would think of too. It's true for me. Becoming a parent just changed everything. It's a cliche, but it's true. That's why it's a cliche. It required everything, my time, my focus, my love, my worry. I literally changed my career goals. I have been pushed. I have frequently failed to meet my own standards. And even in the middle of the most sleep-deprived moment, the hardest frustration, I would not go back. No, it's not only worth it, but this child somewhere back there in this pews, this child, and this relationship of being his parent has changed me. I am a different person. And then in the council discussion, Krista Marting said that relationships in general are like that, not just parents and child. If you have a conflict in a relationship and then you come out of it stronger than before, you know you have something real. Like, that's a good relationship. That's worth it. And then Pat Leong said, being a member of a congregation requires a lot. Volunteer time and financial giving, and it's so worth it. And I said, Pat, thank you. That's probably where I want to go. This is where Jesus is going. Following him, being his disciple, being part of the family of God, the body of Christ, requires everything, and it's worth it. It starts small and becomes large, capacious, with space for birds and creatures and bread for everyone, and the kingdom of heaven is hidden, and then it's revealed. You have to go looking for it sometimes, but suddenly there it is. And it requires our effort, and the result is just expansive, and the result is what we were always looking for. And the result is relationship. And it's a life of value. So I want to circle back to the church, to our congregation specifically. Now is the right time, and these are the right texts to speak in a straightforward manner. When the pastor says, I'm going to be straightforward with you, what do? You go, I don't know how you respond. I'm going to be straightforward. The reality is that as this congregation becomes smaller, and it is slowly becoming smaller, it's not just you, it's every congregation. It's necessary then to pay employees to do things that in the past would have been done by volunteers, right? That's just the reality. And right now, mid-2026, our financial outgo is greater than our income. We're not on the edge of precipice of disaster, but simply to know that our income is not matching what we need. And I'll tell you that yes, and this might be someone's first impulse to go to the budget and try to find places to cut. We could save a little here and there. Sure, we could save a little, but actually, we've kind of already done that. This is just what it costs. This is what it costs, and I'm going to say it. Peace needs more money. And again, I'm just going to be very straightforward and say, hear me, the gap is not going to be bridged by fundraisers. Typically, fundraisers require tremendous time and energy for very modest results. The source of the needed income, my friends, is, what am I going to say? It's you. It's me. It's the members of Peace. Most of us, including me and my family, could give more and not really suffer. Now, be clear. I am in no way asking anyone to give money they don't have. I don't want you to forego rent or food or medicine or anything like that in order to give to the church. I am not asking for that. But I am asking those who can to consider giving more. I have decided that I'm going to increase my tithes to the church starting in August. I do it monthly, my tithe, and I'm going to challenge you to consider doing the same. I know that it might require some rearranging of priorities, but my goodness, no one is giving up their life. Rather, we are gaining our lives. We're not giving up our lives, we're gaining our lives. Remember how I said that at camp last week, I asked, where are my people? I thought about that, and the answer in great measure is here. Here. Our people are here among our siblings of faith, here at our chosen community, Peace Lutheran Church. We are one another's people. You are mine. I am yours. And what would we not do for one another? And what would we not give to be together, to live this life of love and ministry together? With Libby Flynn's departure to live closer to her family, we are going to have the opportunity to put some doing words into action, right? Not only will we miss Libby greatly as a friend and a sister in Christ, but Libby does a lot around here. And the call will come to some of you to take on another volunteer position, or maybe your first volunteer position here at the church. Please consider it. Don't be afraid. God has gifted all of us for ministry. And the great thing about volunteering for a church is that you get to be with your people. You get to do it together with your people. The kingdom of heaven is hidden, and then it is revealed. It starts small, but then we just realize just how capacious it is. Capacious, I love the word, capacious. We should say that together. Capacious, how big it is, how much room there is among us here in this place, in this community. Having a church, being God's family, requires commitment. It requires time and money and patience and love. And following Jesus is a whole life proposition, and it's worth it. We don't lose our lives, we gain our lives. That's part of the church, the family of God. We are loved and forgiven and accompanied by God and one another, and our lives are valuable because we know the worth. We know the worth of our endeavor. And we are together. We are God's people, and we belong to one another. Where are my people? Where are they? Where do you think? Where are my people? Ah, yes, what? I saw emotion. Here, they're here, they're here. You were thinking it and you're like, wait, is it a trick question? No, it's not. Where are my people? They're here, right here. You are. You're my people, I'm your people, right here. Amen.